Hello, this is Brad Warren, and you're listening to Beyond the Event, a youth ministry podcast presented by Christ in Youth, where we help you maintain momentum between the mountaintops. I want to start off today with a huge thank you to all of you who have already registered for Move, Mix, and Superstart events for 2024. We opened registration last week, and as of the time of the recording of this podcast, and holy smokes, the response has been a lot of things. It's been, I mean, frankly, it's been overwhelming. It's also been humbling and encouraging and exciting how many of you are as excited about CIY events in 2024 as we are. You are, I want you to know this, you are an outpouring of God's goodness to this organization, and we are grateful for that. We do, however, have another program that did not open registration last week. In fact, registration has been open since the summer, and that is Engage. Now, Engage trains students for a life of kingdom work by introducing them to some of our mission partners who are doing incredible ministry all over the world. Now, here's the deal. I know that a switch just flipped for a lot of you, and a lot of you are saying, I don't know about doing an international mission trip. That seems like an awful lot of work. And you're right. It is a lot of work, but that's why we're here. We want to do that work for you so that you can simply walk alongside your students as they experience what God is already doing in a culture that is completely different from their own. If that's something that you're interested in, you can find a ton more information on our website at ciy.com/engage. And guess what? As of the date this episode is live, October 16th, it is definitely not too late for your group to join one of our Engage trips in 2024. Believe me, you will not regret walking down this road. Give us a call, email us, whatever you want to do to get a hold of us. We want to talk to you about what this experience could look like for your church. Okay. Today, though, we have another incredible youth minister here to chat with us about what God is up to in his ministry. Juan Fias is an old friend of mine. He actually used to be on staff with us here at CIY before Valley View Christian Church in Littleton, Colorado swiped him up. So I'm excited to catch up with him, and I'm excited for you to get a chance to listen in. So here we go. Juan, what is up, my guy? Thank you for being here.
What's up, man? Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so pumped that you're here. I want to start by talking about a mutual love of ours, which is the National Football League. Okay.
Yes, sir. I love to talk about football.
I know. But so you are a New Orleans Saints fan, which
big time.
God bless, you know, whatever. That's fine. No harm there. I want to know, and now you live in the Denver area.
Yep.
So watching Sean Payton come to Denver and just like eat it, like just like just royally wipe out, what has that been like for you?
You know, it has been sweet, sweet revenge in many ways because here's the thing. It's like, you know, I work with teenagers, mm-hmm. and I was a teenager mm-hmm. a while ago. And so I remember what the catty dating pool was like when I was in high school. And this is what it's like. It's like if your girlfriend left you for who she thought was a better guy, and then she started dating this guy, and then that guy just turned out to be a convicted murderer. And
so the Broncos are in prison in this analogy.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay, like great. They just, cool. And so here's the thing. Sean Payton, once Brees left, he realized that he was a fraud and that Drew Brees created who he is, just like Bill Belichick is realizing he's a fraud without Brady. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to chase a ring in Denver with Russell Wilson. And boy, was that a mistake. And so now he's sitting here. And he's crashing and burning with the ship. I text Titus at least weekly and make fun of him for being a Bronco fan. And we own their second round pick this year. So every time they lose, my smile and my heart grows by three sizes.
I'm so glad that I asked you that question for a lot of reasons. Predominantly because it's a good Like, it's good for any listener to know how committed to a hot take you are.
Oh, like 100%. You will just I have the hottest of takes. The most ridiculous
Juan,
of them
too. Juan has the hottest takes. You have the hottest takes. You stick to them. You dig your heels in, and I love that. I did not expect to hear Bill Belichick be called a fraud on this podcast, but here we are.
You heard it here first. I hope Lou Zatter watches this episode too. Tell him I said that.
Gosh, I will tell him you said that. Anyway, Juan, you're in Littleton, Colorado, right outside of Denver. Let's talk about ministry. We talked enough about football. So I lived in Colorado for a little while. So, and I miss it. Part of me misses it. What is different about doing ministry in Colorado that you think is different than anywhere else in the country? Like, what makes your spot unique?
Man, I've been part of ministry as a student in Arizona growing up. And then I did ministry in Joplin for years at Hope City, and college there and everything. And then working for CIY again, you know, Midwest type stuff. And so that's really I can't say like there's anything like super unique about Colorado, because that I would say what makes us different than most places in the United States is just our the area we live in. Like the mountains are right there, right? And so it's like the first snowflake hits the ground and people are gone, right? It's like the moment people can get out of Denver and get up the mountains to one of the resorts to ski, to snowboard, to hike, to look at the aspens when they change and things like that. It's people don't need an excuse to just skip out on church, if I'm being quite honest. And I think part of that we created on our own, and it was a monster of our own creativity with COVID, right? Because everybody and their grandma went to streams. And so we created this monster of like, you don't actually have to be in church anymore. And when you're in a place as beautiful as Denver and other places, you know, I think of Utah and I think, you know, the coast and things like that, where it's outdoorsy, it's just so easy to throw in the towel on being part of a church and attending, when I can just be up in the mountains skiing, snowboarding, and I can just catch the stream online. So that was probably one of the biggest wake-up calls. You know, I've been here for 4 years now, coming from the Bible Belt, serving at a thriving, growing church like Hope City. It's like, I mean, people were batting down the doors to attend Hope City. Like all of our students were always there. And like when, you know, Sunday night youth group and Sunday morning church, it was respected, right? And it was sacred. But now out here, I don't know if it's the same throughout the whole country, but here for sure, man, it doesn't matter that every church in the area does youth group on Wednesdays or that there's church on Sunday mornings. People just, they just don't want to be here. They want to be out doing outdoorsy things. And so we're constantly fighting that. So that's a struggle, but I'd say that's something that I definitely wasn't facing that when I was doing ministry in the Midwest.
I know. I remember the same thing. It's like my entire childhood, you go to church every Sunday, right? Right. And then I remember having these conversations when I got, you know, to my ministry out in Colorado, with the leadership team there, and them saying like, no, like like someone who's committed to attending this church comes twice a month.
Wow.
And that's like that's just what you see. Cause I mean, part of what you're saying too, I mean, Colorado is amazing, but every weekend is beautiful, like in its own way. It's like wintertime, cool, I'll go skiing. Summertime, great, I'll go to the lake, hiking. You know, whatever, go hiking.
Go to the lake, whatever.
So obviously that has a lot of downsides when you're trying to like program things. One thing for me that I remember is how often you have to say things if you want everyone to hear them, you know?
Yes. Like, you already have to do that in ministry because they're teenagers. And the moment you say something, it goes in one ear and out the other. And parents, you tell them, but they also are managing kidmen schedules and sports schedules and family vacations and everything. So it's like, it's already a reality of working with teens and parents. But yes, when you are have all the distractions, it's 10 times worse.
Yeah. So like if you wanted to, like, I don't remember who said this, but it was something like, if you want to make sure that people, that it really sinks in what you're trying to tell people, you have to tell them three times, right?
Yep.
So at a church, at Christ Church of Orinoco, where I attend here in town, at Hope City, where you used to attend here in Joplin, if you wanted somebody to hear something three times, you would say it three Sundays in a row, and then right. they would hear it three times. How many times would you have to say it in order for them to hear it three times?
Months, bro. It's like, it's 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, I will have people, what was it that I was doing the other day? We do this thing with a ministry in Aurora called Forge Ministries. So they specialize in like speakers and things like that. And their big heart is to like unite churches across Denver, because I think, you know, a lot of ministry feels like competition, like especially in youth ministry. It's like, how big's your youth ministry? It's like, you hear it all the time when you go to like conferences and whatever, like stop asking youth pastors how many students come to their youth to their youth ministry. Like, it doesn't matter. But there's this like underlying thing with churches where it feels like it has to be a competition. And we didn't want that in the local churches around my area. And so we partner with Forge and we do this thing called Forge Fest with a bunch of churches, and we come together and we do like a one night type thing on Wednesday night already, because that's when youth group is. And it's a super fun event, and we have speakers and bands and all this jazz. And I am not joking, I have been promoting it since we got back from CIY. So since early, mid-July, I've been telling kids like, hey, don't forget in September, October, like late September, we got Forge, so like sign up for it. And we're not meeting at the church, we're meeting at the venue, and buy your ticket online. Otherwise, it's more expensive at the door, and da-da-da. Bro, it's in my weekly email to my parents. I send a weekly email every Monday with all the reminders and plans for the week. I tell the kids in the announcements on Wednesday morning or Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. I talk to them in the lobbies and I tell them, and I'm not joking, Wednesday morning of the event, I have parents texting me and calling me, and they're like, hey, what time do they need to be at the church? And I was like, at 0 time o'clock, because we're not meeting at the church. We're meeting at the venue for the 100th time. I love you. I know you have a lot going on, but please, for the love of God, read the emails.
Read your email. No, that's funny. I don't know why, like, we're talking about the challenges and the obstacles of that culture, and yet I miss it. You know, like, there's something that kind of draws me to it. What are the positives? Let's flip it on its head a little bit. What do you love?
Yeah, I would say, like, specifically for our church, Valley View, one of the coolest things that's happening is that we were strategically positioned years ago, by the elder board, and obviously most importantly by God, in this piece of land. And I wish I could give you a bird's eye view of like where our church is, but like our church is right here, like up on the hill. And then there's a pretty major freeway that goes right next to our church, highway, whatever. And then across the highway, there is a giant valley, hence the name Valley View. And then the Rocky Mountains, like right after that. And that valley has been scheduled for residential for 20 years. I mean, we're talking 70, 80,000 homes and growing past that. None of the area in that valley is zoned for quote unquote houses of worship. They have like tiny little plots of land. And basically what they want is little, tiny little like 50 person chapels to like hold events, community events, weddings, and things like that. But nothing of the size of a full time, full running church. And so what we're seeing is a lot of new families and a lot of growth that we are not having to spend money and time and effort in advertising our church, because people are moving into these neighborhoods. And I can't tell you how many people walk into our doors on a Sunday or a Wednesday night and they're like, hey, we're like, hey, you know, nice to meet you. How'd you hear about us? And they're like, we just saw your church when we were going home. Because they have to literally drive by the church and like they need to make a left to get to the church. They need to make a right to head to their neighborhood. And so they see our church every time they leave their house to go into town. They drive by Valley View and they see the sign, they see the cross, They see the building. So a lot of them are like, we can see your building from my backyard. And during Christmas, we have lights all over the building, so they see it. So we're placed in this really, really dope position where we are growing and we have the land to expand our church buildings and things like that, which, you know, that'll be a campaign that's coming down the pipeline of expanding as the valley keeps growing. And so God's just been super faithful. And so we keep getting new families, new students. Every week I'm talking to somebody new that's coming in through our doors because they moved into the area and they want to find a church home. And it's been such a blessing, you know, to be able to minister to this whole valley.
That's super cool, man. Well, you know, I love Valley View. I love, you and your wife and your kid. And I wish I could be there with you doing this in person right now. We did get to hang out at CIY Move in Glorieta, New Mexico. You were there. I was there. Producer Michael was there. Producer Michael was there, turning the knobs and
the sliders.
The sliders. Doing all those things. So we had a great time. I loved hanging out with your group. Loved having them there. I know you love Move and Mix. I want to know now at this point in the year, like it's October, what fruit are you still seeing from summer, from getting to have those trips with your students? Like, what I know, it's not, sometimes you're at a Move, right? And you're thinking like, oh man, I think this is it. I think this is what I'm going to see change based on what we're experiencing here. And usually that's not the thing that changes, but something else kind of does or whatever. Right. So I want to know just, why are you thankful for summer right now? Like what's it done in your ministry?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. The first thing that comes to mind is just seeing the two things. One of them is a pretty easy given, and that's the closeness that CIY develops in our students between one another and with their leaders. You know, I tell my leaders all the time, I'm like, hey, if you can make time for any single event other than Wednesday and Sunday mornings, please make time for Mix. Please make time for Move. Because the relationships you build in that week will be a year's worth of relationships that you own, that you did in 5 days. You know, there's nothing like it. So that's one of my favorite things is I come back and it's a double-edged sword in a way, because the students that don't get to go
feel left out.
It feels like they get left behind, right? It's like the train is moving at this speed and they're trying their best to catch up. But I mean, it's just so hard for them to catch up. But those that do go and those that invest their time, the 5 days wisely, the way they come back just closer to one another and closer to their small group leader is one of the most beautiful things I see, right? Like they go as acquaintances and they come back and then before you know it, they're hanging out every Saturday and they're hanging out on Sundays after church and going out to grab lunch and they're going to each other's games and they're, you know, ministering to one another during hard times and things like that. So that really warms my heart. And then the other thing that I saw that I really enjoyed was I love the way that my upperclassmen are starting to take an interest in my younger classmen students. Like those senior boys, junior boys are starting to pay more attention to those freshman boys. And you know, we're working on the same thing with the senior girls, kind of pouring into those freshman girls. Because typically they just don't talk. They might go to school together, but when they're here, the seniors are hanging out with the seniors and the freshmen are hanging out with the freshmen. But we're starting to see now like this want to pour into the younger students. And I keep trying to foster that because I'm like, hey, remember when you were a freshman and when you came in here and how scary it was because the senior girls were terrifying or whatever. Like, don't let that happen. And so these girls are trying to start going out of their way and ministering to them and just being a friend to them and being there available for them. So that's my favorite thing that I see every year. Like, obviously, we have the baptisms and I have students that come back on fire for Christ. And I wish I could say that every single one of them keeps that flame lit. But a lot of them don't because life just gets back to normal. But for the few that do, man, you can just see a whole different shift where they're like, okay, this isn't about me. This is about the whole group. So how can I be a light to everybody. You know, and so that's super encouraging for me to see, and something that I know wouldn't be possible without CIY allowing us to have those weeks, man.
Yeah. So you are like, you're describing a moment that happened. It's going to sound like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating. At every single move I have ever been to as a student, as a youth pastor, as a staff member here at Christ in Youth, at every high school event that I have ever been to with Christ in Youth, there's a moment, and it's usually like night three or night four, when a group of guys who are in the big room together are all sitting in a row or standing in a row during worship, and they all put their arms around each other. Yep. And are singing and are worshiping together and are crying. And it's just like the best. And when I'm standing in the back of the room and I see all those arms go up over shoulders, that is like what gets me when I am a mirror, dude. I love it. And like you talking about that is recalling just those images from over the years for me, which is really cool.
We do, you know, I took this from Connor LeBlanc at Hope City when I volunteered with him. But we do family time, you know, at the end of the nights, and we do shout outs to final night. And so you guys are like sending those texts, like the 11:30, like lights out text. And we're like hoping we don't get busted because we're still like having conversations.
So why would you say that? Why would you say that to me?
Yeah. because you're not going to rap.
Why would you say that? This is a public forum. People are listening. I was the director of your move event.
And so we loved that final night, and my students love it. The first time we did it, they were like super like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, but we go around the circle and every person gets two things said about them that somebody loves. So, you know, if you were in there and I'm the youth pastor, I'd be like, all right, Brad. And then hands go up around the room and I pick two people to speak life into you and to just share their experiences with you this week. And then you have to say something you love about yourself and that you've seen growth in yourself. And we do that for the entire circle, man. And it is one of the most fruitful things that we do at CIY. And we do it at the end of the week on purpose because it's after they've spent a whole week getting to know new people. And the coolest thing ever is seeing that kid that had no friends when he jumped in the van, you know, that Sunday morning when we left to come to move. And then Thursday night before we leave on Friday or whatever, and I call that kid's name and there's like 12 hands that go up in the air, and there's kids that are pissed at me because I won't call on them because they want to say what they love about this kid so much. And it's just like the camaraderie and the closeness that they develop by being broken together and being rebuilt by the truth of the gospel together at the same time, and realizing that they're all broken and they all need Jesus at the same time. And they see that and they realize that they're not alone. Brother, like that is why we
it's
do
good
it,
stuff.
Right?
And it's like, it's good stuff.
You take a deep breath and you're like, man, this is so worth it. Like the crappy nights are so worth it in comparison to that.
Yeah, they are. You're right. So I want to circle back to what you were talking about getting your older students to invest in younger students, because there's something really practical in there that I want to kind of zoom in on. Because that is a cool thing that I think a lot of youth pastors out there really try to foster. And sometimes if you try to foster it for the sake of doing it, it's like banging your head against the wall to get it to happen. And it sounds like it's something that's really happened organically in your group, which is cool. I mean, I know you care about it and have been intentional about it. But something that has popped up since this summer, which is great. I want to know what you're doing to like encourage that, facilitate that. Are there, certain times or is there like a buddy system or something like, and maybe you're not there yet, but I just don't know, like, what are you as youth pastor doing to say, whoa, this is valuable. I want to make sure that this continues to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going to, you know, if I'm being completely honest, it's something that just happened without me having to try. Now it started with ulterior motives, because my senior boys from last year, they wanted to date the junior and sophomore girls. And so they started hanging out as basically a mode of getting to know one another. And then they all started dating one another. And so one of the big things I did once we sorted that out and it was the end of the year and they're transitioning off to college, I had them come up on stage and just kind of talk about that and encourage the students that were going to be staying in the student ministry. And one of my boys, his name's Nathan, he's off to school now in California. I remember what he said. And he said, he grew up in this church. And he's like, I grew up in this church. Like, I've been here for 18 years. Can I just tell you, don't wait. Like, don't sit here and wait until your senior year to pour into this youth group and to make this youth group your own and to form those relationships with everybody in here like I did. Because they didn't find that type of community until about a quarter way through their senior year. So they had like a really awesome three quarters of a senior year. But they look back on it and they're like, man, like I could have had this for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I didn't because I was too worried about my own kid, like my own friends and not really bridging out or branching out. And so that's one thing is I had those seniors share that with our entire youth group, 12th grade all the way through sixth grade on a Sunday morning. And then it was pinpointing those other students that were part of that group that they lost half of their group to college and now they're sitting there. And I pinpointed a couple of the leaders in that group and I said, hey, listen, it's up to you now to make that happen because it's your turn. Like I was actually talking to one of them last night because he's talking about, you know, feeling a little disconnected from community and things like that. And I was like, bro, you have the pieces in front of you. Like you've been quote unquote fed for the last 2-3 years. It's time for you to do the feeding. Like you didn't have to work to be part of that group. They just brought you in because they loved you and because they wanted, you know, to have friends across age gaps. It's time for you to do it. So identifying those students and encouraging them and empowering them and being like, hey, you can do this. And I know you care about this youth group and I know you want this youth group to thrive because you feel the hole that the upperclassmen left when they transitioned off. And so now it's your turn to do that and to rebuild that community so that when you leave, those girls and those boys can continue that legacy throughout the years and just showing them that's important because you're right. You can't force it. So like I thought about it as like a buddy system. Like, do I assign a senior to my incoming freshman or something like that? But as soon as you force community, it's no longer community. Mm. Like now it's just homework and nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to be forced to be friends with anybody. But when you encourage them in the sense of like, hey, you need to take some ownership in this and this is how you take ownership. That's where we're starting to see the fruits and we're starting to see those students be like, yeah, you know what? Like I want biblical community. I want Christian community at my church. I want people to feel accepted. I want to feel accepted and I want to feel seen at my church. So I'm going to go out of my way to make it happen. Like if somebody isn't going to do it for me, I'm going to go out of my way and do it myself because my youth pastor said that I can and he's not going to stop me. If anything, he's going to foster it. Mm-hmm. And I tell him all the time, like, girl, whatever you need, like one thing we're tossing around right now is one of the big things a lot of our girls specifically are voicing that they're struggling with is prayer and just kind of understanding. Cause I think a lot of times, and this came from a National Youth Worker training day with DYM, they said, you know, we expect our students to know how to pray, but prayer isn't something that we know how to do. Is prayer something we learn to do, right? The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And so we have these girls that they're like, I don't know how to pray. I'm scared of praying. And so we're exploring the idea of having like a prayer night and just for like the female students at one of my female leaders' homes and doing like different stations and inviting all the girls 9th grade to 12th grade so they can be together and fostering those moments for them to be together across age differences. So yeah, man, I think it really boils down to empowering those students to take ownership of their youth group. And being honest with them with the fact, like, if I force this, you're not going to like it. It's going to be so much better if you lead off with it and then providing opportunities for them to do so.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. I've seen a lot of youth groups have like a really strong class. Like there will be like, oh, man, this freshman group they're rock stars. And then all of a sudden they're the sophomore group that's rock stars. And then they're the junior group that's rock stars. And then they're the senior group that's rock stars. And then they leave. And then like all the momentum, like it's almost like it sucks the air out of the room with yeah. of, of of the youth ministry. But like doing stuff like this, I feel like bridging those gaps and like kind of tying some of those things together in a lot of different ways, more than we really have time to go into, helps make it so that there's not a class culture, right? Mm-hmm. There's a Valley View student ministry culture, and we're all kind of part of this. And I think that's a really cool thing. I'm glad it happened. Yeah,
well, that's us, man. That like I said, that class we graduated, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It sucked the air out of the room, and I was freaking out. And my lead pastor, Phil, he saw it coming 6 months ago. And he's been warning me about it and telling me to start like thinking about it, because he knew it was going to happen because of how strong those boys are. And one thing that we came up with, he actually suggested it, was for me to start, me and my other leaders to start pouring into the younger classes. Because what I've done is I've been pouring into this class for 4 years. So there's a reason that class grew, is because their youth pastor loved on them. And so they started inviting friends like, hey, come be part of my youth group. And that class grew bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And so now I have to realize that I need to start doing that for my freshmen and my sophomores, so that that can continue happening through the years. I can't just keep my focus on those upperclassmen anymore. So that's been a challenge for me, to just have to grow in my position as well and the things that I have to do.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, hey, want you to know that I've really enjoyed this conversation. I love, my favorite thing about you, Juan, is how passionate you are. You're passionate about a lot of things that drive me crazy. Like the New Orleans Saints, don't care about that at all. But like just being able to have this conversation and see your passion for students, your passion for youth ministry, your passion for, you know, your neighborhood in Colorado. I mean, it's infectious. Like it bleeds through, and it's cool to see you in this element. You know, I got to know you as a coworker at CIY, but like youth pastor Juan, you like leveled up a little bit, and it's fun to see, man. I'm proud of you, and I love seeing you in the seat that you're in.
Man, it's awesome. I love it. I'd be lying if I didn't say I don't miss CIY every once in a while, but. You know, this is where God has me. And I couldn't be happier. There's really, really bad days that I leave here in tears, wondering if it's worth it. And then one light goes on in one student's life, and they understand that Jesus loves them and that they're not walking through life alone. And when that light goes on, man, it makes every hard day and every hard hour worth it, bro. And that's why we do it. And I know that's why you guys do it at CIY. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's a blessing, and it's a calling, and it's so worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with everything you said, although I do think you probably only miss CIY because the Broncos are losing. And you wish you were around Titus to revel in it a little bit. But anyway, hey, it's been a really good conversation, Juan. It's been fun hanging out with you. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, bro.
I am just super duper grateful for Juan and his friendship, and the guy, I mean, he is the real deal. Like the guy you just heard is who Juan is. There's no like manufacturing or anything to that. He's very vulnerable and transparent person. And that's, I think, why our conversation went in the direction that it went. And we ended up having a lot of really great conversation about how relational ministry is. It's a reminder that I think we all need from time to time. We get so caught up in the logistics of running our events and this, that, and the other. And it's really important to just remember how vital relationships are to students, both with other students who call Jesus Lord, and also with leaders. And that's one of the great things about being a part of CIY, is watching some of those relationships really come into bloom at Move and Mix and Superstart and on Engage trips, watching students form close bonds together with one another, watching students form close bonds together with their leaders is just really a privilege and an honor for us. And I'm grateful for Juan, both that he kind of reminded me of that and called that to my memory, but also grateful for him and that he is so passionate about that, and that he is creating a place at Valley View, where students can experience that week in and week out. All right, I'm going to read our blessing. May God show you grace and bless you. May he make his face shine on you. May you experience the love of Christ, through whom God gives you fullness of life. May you be strengthened by his power. May Christ himself make his home in your heart, that you would be full of his love and grace, and that those you serve would see Jesus in you. Today's episode was produced by Michael Hester, Lauren Bryan, and myself. Thanks again to Juan for being with us today. And of course, thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, I think you know by now what you need to do. You need to subscribe to this show wherever you listen to podcasts, and you need to share this episode with a youth pastor friend. We're going to be back in 2 weeks, but in the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on the CIY Community Facebook group or by email at podcast@ciy.com. See you next time.